can I ask you to introduce yourself?
Yes, hello, my name is Sherry. I'm actually Sheridan, but I'm known as Sherry. Sherry Rozier.
And where and when were you born?
Yeah, I was born in Ipswich, but was brought up around Coombs, Moats Tye, in January 1962.
And so whereabouts did you grow up? So you were born in Ipswich?
Yeah, I was in hospital, obviously, Ipswich Hospital, but I grew up in Coombs Village. My parents lived in Coombs. Is a really spread out village, almost in two halves. And I grew up in one half of the village, and my grandparents actually lived the other side of the village in Moats Tye. So, but I really spent a lot of time with my grandparents, the Moats Tye side of the village.
What separated the two?
Distance, I think, really.
I didn't even know it was two.
Well, they're not two, they're all one, aren't they? But they're so so vast. I suppose the part of the village I was born in must be 4 or 5 miles to the other side, mustn't it?
Yeah, it probably is.
Yeah, it's just a very... And the church is actually some distance away from the village itself. It's nearer to Stowmarket than Coombs Church is in the fields, nearer to Stowmarket than the village of Coombs itself.
Yeah.
So how big's the total village?
I don't know what you'd say, do you?
Well, I suppose it's 5 miles across, is
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it's got to be, isn't
square,
it? Yeah. It's a very spread out village.
And where did you grow up?
Well, yes, sort of between the two. I spent a lot of time with my grandparents in Moats Tye, and then later on my parents were divorced, and we actually, my mum and myself and my younger brother all actually moved to the grandparents' house, the Moats Tye side of the village, and spent 3 or 4 years there before moving into Stowmarket itself, into the town.
Where do you live now?
I live in Needham Market now, which is actually where my ancestors have lived for the last 300 years. I've done a lot of family history research. So my dad's side of the family are in Needham Market. So I kind of feel like I'm home. Although I've lived there 40 years, so quite a long time now.
What was your earliest memory then? Sort of like, is that at your grandparents?
Probably is, yes, because I spent the time there as a small, very small child. My mum went back to work before my brother was born in 1966, so I actually spent a lot of time there as a toddler. So I've got very, very small memories of being there when I was really little.
Like what?
I think I can remember cats more than anything. They'd got black cats, and we didn't have cats at home. It was more like a small Holden. My granddad always kept, like people did years ago, some chickens, a couple of pigs, and there was quite a bit of land, so he grew veg. Always lots of places to explore in the garden. Loads of sheds full of a lot of things he didn't need or use anymore, probably. So I did that. Most of my memories are Moats Tye rather than with my parents' house.
Did you help your grandparents?
I don't think so, as far as I can remember. I think probably because I was the only grandchild at that time for a few years. So I think probably I didn't help. I probably was looked after.
Spoiled. Where did your parents grow up?
My dad grew up in Needham Market. As I said, I've traced his family back to the 1800s in Needham Market. And mum came from, she was born in Moats Tye, where my grandparents lived. And my granddad's family from Battersford, so they're literally 2 or 3 miles. We haven't moved very far.
How did your parents meet?
Don't really know. I don't know. I've got a feeling that one of my mum's cousins or family introduced my dad to her, and I suppose that they're back in that time he lived in Needham, and he probably cycled to Moats Tye. Everybody cycled then, didn't they? Cycled to Moats Tye to see her, I would assume.
So how do you think the community or has changed in your lifetime?
Well, I actually left, I suppose I was about 15 or 16 when I eventually left Moats Tye, moved into Stowmarket, and then I lived in Stowmarket until I married and then went to Needham. So I don't know that I'd know much about the rural side of it. Perhaps John would remember more than me. That side, I don't know that's changed a huge amount.
Massive amount.
No, not really.
No.
I would say probably, if you'll probably know more than me, that the only thing that might have changed is sort of public transport. I suppose it's non-existent out there now.
Completely non-existent.
Because at least there used to be buses, fairly regular buses and so forth. So
you didn't have to get a bike then?
No, we had a school bus. We were provided with transport for school. Same school bus that picked up in one side of the village picked me up when I moved to Moats Tye. So, but I don't think generally public transport is... You know, there were always regular buses that people went into town, particularly on a Thursday, which was market day. Like,
so tell me about your schooling.
I went to school initially. There was still a small primary school in the village. I think it had opened in 1871, so it was like these really old traditional brick with a very small minority, small number of kids. I think at one point that was something like 10 or 15 in the junior class and the same amount in the infant class, where you all sat on separate tables in one room, but you moved between tables as you grew up, and you know, you went up a year and you went to a different table. But that all, and that was, it was, I think, a really good education because there were so few of us. Our junior teacher was exceptionally good. We got a lot of individual attention. She was a really good teacher. But sadly, the small primary schools closed in 1971 when the local went to the comprehensive system. So it went from a sort of 5 to 11 and then 11 to 16, went to a three-tier system. So we went at 9, you went to middle school to 13 and then to high school. So you had a three-tier system, and small schools such as that all closed.
Did you go into Stowmarket
then? We went to what was called Coombs Middle, but it was on the edge of the town. There were two in Stowmarket. There was a main one in the middle of Stowmarket, and then Coombs Middle, sort of built on the edge of the estate that was on the edge of Coombs Ford, really. So we will move to there. And they shut the school totally. I think that's private comment. That's been a house or two houses for years and years, hasn't it? So that's where I started school. And my brother, who was still primary age, went to Coombs Ford Primary School, which was almost into town as well, so we had to start bussing into school after that.
And it was, we were talking about public transport, weren't we?
Yes, I mean, these were laid on. I don't think kids now get particularly laid on. I think you have to, I mean, we didn't have to pay for all this. This was all provided because we were out of the area, so we got transport provided because we lived more than 2 or 3 miles from the schools. But like we were saying, that's public transport, as to pick a bus up to come into town Thursdays was the big day, wasn't it? That was market day. There'd be 2 or 3 buses each way. And there's nothing now at all.
So what, can you remember what market day was like?
Yeah, I can remember market day really well, particularly on a Thursday, because by this time my brother had been born. He was in a pushchair, and my mum's sister, my aunt, had got 2 kids, little kids as well. I was the oldest, but they were sort of toddlers. And Thursdays was a day where everybody met up in town, in Stowmarket. And the big highlight of the day was to go to the cattle market and see all the... which would be, I don't know that I'd want to do it now, but originally there was a big cattle market in Stowmarket where Asda is now built. And we'd go and see the pigs and chickens and everything that was waiting to be bid on. You know, it was a highlight when you were a child. That was, we thought was great. And then we'd catch one of the buses back to my nan's house at Moats Tye, and we'd all go for lunch, and she'd have cooked well, dinner. That was dinner then, because you had your main meal. My granddad was farm labourer, and he always came home for lunch at 1 o'clock. So she cooked dinner lunchtime, and we all used to meet up, all the cousins, the 4 of us, and my mum and her sister, we all went on a Thursday. I suppose that would probably, thinking back, would have been more in school holidays, because I'd have been at school by that time. But yeah, we all used to meet up there, which was, yeah, I can remember that really well.
So what did you do when you need to go to work? What did you...
I got sort of plans. I was going to go to I went to college, but didn't really like it, and I really felt like I needed to perhaps work rather than study. So I actually, my first job, I worked in insurance in Ipswich, where I first worked for, I must have been 3 or 4 years I worked there, but I had my family quite young, so you know, I wasn't there that long.
What age did you leave school?
I left school at 16.
And then worked
at in Ipswich. And that, but then I got married quite young. I got married at 19 and had started. I had my oldest son a year later, so I didn't do full-time work for many years. And then when my oldest son was 12, 14 months, I started working locally in a local library, doing just relief work, very, very few hours because I didn't have the childcare, wasn't like it is now. But my nan had, by this time, my nan and granddad had moved into Needham Market, and they used to look after my oldest son for me. But it was very, you know, just to cover holidays in sickness. But having said that, you know, over the years built it up and worked 39 years in the libraries, mainly in Stowmarket Library.
So going back to sort of like your grandparents, got any sort of family traditions and things that you can remember?
Not so much traditions. I mean, the same. Most of my childhood was spent there. We always went there for Boxing Day. I can remember her cooking for everybody and all the family going there Boxing Day. Actual traditions, probably not. I can remember that, you know, like a lot of country rural properties, they weren't modernised until 40 years ago, which, you know, early 80s. So I can remember the toilet halfway down the garden path, and the tin bath that hung on the wall out in the, you know, on outside, and that came in on Sunday night. You had one bath with 2 inches of water if you were lucky. And then I used to make, well, this is when we lived there, but being the oldest, I made sure I went in first because my brother had to have the same water, but he had to go in after me. So that probably was probably dirtier than he went in, I reckon. Them sort of things they'd got. I think during the time they'd got cold water, but I think you know, over the last few years they'd had some sort of heater they'd had installed that would heat the, I don't know what you'd call it really. They're not an immersion. I'm not trying. That's not as attached to the wall, yeah. And that heated down those, but that was connected up to the cold system, and then you turned it on, and so they did have some hot water in you know, in the kitchen the latter years. But as I said, right up until they moved out and they were getting quite elderly, they sold it and then went into Needham and went into a bungalow which had got a flush toilet, and my granddad thought that was just, you know, the end. He thought it was wonderful. I think he spent the first day just going in and out flushing the loo because he'd just never had it all his life, and he was, you know, they were quite elderly by the time they moved into modern accommodation, so he'd spent most of his life emptying the loo every week. I can remember that if we were there when we were children, we all had to come in because Granddad's now going to empty the toilet, so you had to all come in and not go out until he gave you the all clear, because he's obviously digging a hole and then hauling this bucket down halfway down wherever, presumably where the vegetables have grown, I guess. You know, I suppose that's where you made use of it as, I don't know, really. That's quite a while ago, but he... Bless him, he did that right up until he must have been in his sort of mid, late 70s, he was still doing that before they moved into...
What year do you reckon that was?
They moved into Needham in 1981, I think. No, 1980.
So they still had an outside toilet.
They had an outside toilet until they moved, yeah, and the tin bath as well. They'd got, you know, that was, they'd had, the house wasn't modernised until they moved out.
So how old were you when you last had a tin bath?
I must have been 15 or 16 because we were still living with my... And then my mum, I think she got council accommodation in Stowmarket and we moved down into Stowmarket. But we were still... She lived in one half of the house and she'd got no... we'd got no running water that side at all. She used to have... they used to have to fill one of these big water cans you have in caravans, you know, what you used to have in caravans years ago. So she used to have to wash up and boil a kettle from that. So she was living in half of the house. And so we all had to have a bath in Nan and Grandad's side on a Sunday. And that was your lot. You weren't going to get the bath in any more than that one night a week. So.
And that came in when you were 15?
Yeah, right up until we moved down to Stowmarket when I was 15. So, yeah, we did. It's, you know, probably later. But I think most of the cottages in Moatstie would have been in the same
at that time, wouldn't they? Like that.
Yeah.
Mrs. Battles.
Battles, they were all have had the same. Yeah. They, you know, there was no, I suppose one of the things, so there was no main sewer because I don't think there is now.
No, so
they all had, when people have had the places modernised, they've all got septic tanks. There's no main sewer. So I suppose that's quite a big deal to modernise. And.
Mm.
you know, so that was right up, I say, right up until early 80s, it was still the same. They were all emptying the loo down the garden in a hole.
So did your, I'm just trying to think, what age you lived with your grandparents from?
Yeah, living there full time. We lived with my grandparents, I think I was 13. So that would have been about 1975, mm-hmm. we moved to my grandparents. And then, as I say, Mum got allocated a council accommodation when I was 15, 16. So that would be about 3 years. I think we moved down into town in 77. So we lived there, it might have been a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Moved into Stowmarket in 77, I think.
As a teenager, that must have been quite tough to...
Yeah, I can't remember finding any problem, you know. I don't know, I suppose that's what I'd been brought up with. I'd spent so much of my childhood and my younger years there. I was used to, you know, not having the loo, the bath, that sort of thing. So I can't remember it being a huge, big deal.
What sort of meals did you have living with you? Was she a good cook?
My nan? Mm. This is quite funny because my nan was vegetarian from the war right through till, well, she was vegetarian till... Mm, in the early 70s, she turned vegan, which both vegetarian and vegan were quite unusual back in the day.
Yeah.
I think she was looked on as quite a lot of ways because she didn't eat meat or anything right from wartime. As I said, being vegan the last few years of her life. I mean, she died in 1991, but she'd gone vegan when she lived at Mopes Tide. So we're talking about sort of mid-70s. She was vegan, so, but she was really good. She experimented, and there were very few cookbooks. There was one vegan cookbook, which was a little bit sort of odd. People thought it was odd at the time, whereas now that's just the other way. There's dozens of things. Granddad was almost, I'd say, difficult to feed because he would really only eat something if he'd seen it running about, because he didn't think anything was fit to eat. And I can remember a time after Nan would get. I mean, we've got a nice butchers, good butchers in Needham, but. She would go down and buy braised steak to make him a meat pudding, and that would end up he still wouldn't eat the meat. She didn't eat any of it. He ate just the gravy and the pudding, and the dog had the meat because he still was not convinced that it was coming from a good butcher's. I mean, our local butchers, I think a lot of their stuff is homegrown.
Yeah.
In the next village, they've got their own. But he still was sort of, oh, I don't know, so, you know, he hadn't seen it himself. So at the end of the day, the dog had the best deal, I think.
So why was she vegan then, if she's a vegetarian? Because he had pigs.
Yes. I mean, she'd had to cook. I mean, I know she said that when my mum and her brother and sister were children, which was sort of, I guess, was wartime and just after. I mean, he used to wear a big army greatcoat, and he would always come home, and when you opened it up, there were rabbits inside. So he used to. But I don't think any of them went hungry, put it that way. I think probably growing up in the country with their own chickens, eggs, they probably had a better deal than people in towns who were. I suppose they hadn't got the limits. I don't know the rations that, because they could still provide, and he grew all his own. Veg and stuff, but so I think hers was more an ethical thing, because as I say, that wasn't lack of food, and she still prepared stuff, food for him and for the kids growing up, all had meat and two veg, you know. But that was just an ethical thing with her, I think, which then she developed. She had. The vegetarian magazine and that sort of thing, and then there were different publications that advertised, and she got interested in veganism. And as I say, the last few years, 10 years of her life or so, I guess probably a bit more, she was interested to experiment on what she could cook and what she could eat, and at the same time from having to provide for him and the dog. But yes, I think it was an ethical thing. Quite interesting. She was an interesting character because it was so unusual in them days. There was just nobody else. No books, anything.
Have you got a favourite memory of a recipe or something?
I don't know. That's a while ago now.
What would she do for Boxing Day then?
She would probably do like a nut roast and that sort of thing. She used to experiment with that. And, that's a while ago. So I know she always cooked nice food. And I know she used to cook vegetarian as well when we used to go there as children on the Thursday.
Mm.
And I know my mum and her sister, they all used to say, we could all eat like this if someone got it ready for us. But that's just preparation, you know. Mm. I think you have to sort of think a bit wider and your prep's a bit different than just putting some mince in the frying pan. And so, they all used to laugh and say, yeah, I could eat like this if my nan cooked it all the time. She didn't, like, as you do nowadays, she did a little job a couple of days a week cleaning for one of the neighbours. She went to Mrs. Phillips. She used to go and clean there a couple of mornings. But other than that, she cooked my granddad lunch at lunchtime. So she didn't work. She did a couple of days this cleaning. So she would be at home and she would experiment and try different recipes and that sort of thing. So I don't know. Perhaps we don't get the chance. We work as women. We work, you know, right from our kids are little, and so we don't get the chance to.
So your mum never followed?
My mum didn't. My mum was always a good. She didn't follow. She always, cooked meat and everything. But she was a good cook as well. I mean, she worked full time from when we were kids, but we didn't have anything out of a packet or tin or frozen meals, which really there weren't that many back in the day. Was there? You didn't get frozen pizza till I was sort of married, you know. But she was a good cook. She always baked cakes. My nan was the same, always baked cakes every week, even though she was at work. My mum, she always did baked, so there were tins full of cakes and things. So I think she'd probably been brought up, because my nan always cooked cakes, and then, you know, there was always everything, and I suppose mum had been the same, so she was a good cook as well.
What about you?
Yeah, I do, I'm a bit, I'm sorry, I'm not the same, I'm a good cook, but I don't very often have anything what's pre-packed. I suppose I do more. I mean, one of my sons is living at home, which he wasn't, and then he's come back to live. So I did tend to veer a bit with the old ready meals when he weren't there, and I was working full time. But now he's back, I cook. When we do, I cook properly, what I'd call properly. Fresh veg and fruit and, you know, meat and stuff. But so I do like cooking. I like cakes, but you can say they don't like me, as you can see. If you could eat cake all day and that's only got about, half a dozen calories in, that would be fine. But if only lettuce tasted like cake, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. So you don't have a sort of family recipe that you, like cake recipe or anything, is it?
No, the only thing I always laugh about, because naively, I don't know what age I was until I realised that mince pies are actually a Christmas tradition, because my mum made mince pies every week when she baked, because I suppose they must have been one of my dad's favourites, and she always made mince pies, so we had them in a cake tin all year round, and I must have been, I don't know what age I was, quite old before I realised, probably after I left home and married and realised these were, you know, I just took them for granted, they were in a cake tin and we ate mince pies with your pack up or, you know, or whatever. And I didn't know they were actually Christmas tradition, which sounds a bit daft. makes me sound really naive. But, yeah, she cooked them. So that's one thing I can remember. My nan always made something she called shortcakes, which was paste. I think she made it over leftover, or she made the paste. That was a sweet pastry, and which she would roll out, and then she put currants in, and then just rolled it up, cut them into slices, and then baked them with a bit of sugar sprinkled on, and they were really nice. And I can remember them as a child. And she made something she called cheese shortcakes, which was a similar thing, I suppose, really like a scone recipe, but she cut it into squares and cooked, and she called those cheese shortcakes. So I don't know why I remember them two things, but the mince pie thing, I always think it's quite funny that I was, I don't know how many years old before I realised, which just makes me sound really daft.
And what it means to you. So. Mm-hmm. What sort of dialect do you think you have, and is it important to you?
Well, I think I've got quite a broad Suffolk accent and dialect. Nowhere near as much as my grandparents did. Sadly, I think it's dying out a bit. When I think of how my granddad spoke and things he said now, a lot of people wouldn't even understand him, I don't think. And I think I'm quite broad. I still come out with what I think are quite local, you know, signs and things, but I don't think we've got it like we had when he was younger.
So what would dialect mean to you? What does it, if you had to explain to somebody what the word dialect?
Well, to me, that's specific to the area, that's how you talk, specific to the area you've been brought up in. And I personally think that's really important too. And if anybody, I once had somebody criticise my dialect when I was at work, And he sort of, I can't think exactly what he said. I think I'd said something like that something was on the her, and he criticised it. And I said, sorry, but I'm Suffolk. This is a Suffolk dialect. That's a Suffolk word, and I'm actually really proud of how I speak. So he didn't say anything else. You know.
Apart from on the
hearth,
have you got anything?
Yeah, another look. I will do, because I know I've spoke about it with Laura, and she was really interested that when my oldest son was born, he's 40 now, my granddad always called him Little Hobney Dod, and he called him that right through until he died, even though he was obviously bigger. And that's not a sign that I'd even heard that. That was quite traditional, local. And it meant little snail. Yeah. And my granddad never ever called anybody by their proper names. Everybody'd got a nickname, but he was called little Hobney Dud.
What's yours?
Mine was Toby. He always called me Toby, and nobody ever knew why. He always called me Toby right from a toddler. I was always called Toby, and I hated it. But you know, bring back. That's quite funny, isn't it? Yeah. I said, well, where the Toby came from, I don't know. But he didn't call anybody by the proper name. They'd all got nicknames of some sort.
So do you think all the words you've picked up off from around here, do you think you've picked up any from anywhere else?
I think I've grown. Everybody I've known in my life have always had broad Suffolk accents, and even now. So I think that's just things you pick up, you know, and I think it's good to carry on using if you can. But like things, you know, like I said, people wouldn't understand what my granddad would say. I think a lot of people wouldn't actually understand him now if he, you know, if you heard him talk now.
So have you got any words that you use that sort of your family use that
I don't know no I think no I suppose we talk together and we naturally come out with it, but I always laugh when we used to finish at work and we were locking up, and I always say come on together, because everybody, you know, to sound right, let's go, come on together, it's time to go. And we always laugh, and you know, if you're exaggerating it when you're cold, we always say we're frawn a code, which is sort of translated be frozen with cold, but us frawn a code, you always frawn a code, and you know, we'll laugh and say that. But I don't think we would use that as much in general conversation. My granddad would have said it all the time. But we just, you know, you're just saying things that you come. But my children are in their 40 and 37, and they're quite broad, because we've grown up, you know, my ex-husband, and we're all local. They're all local. We all talk with broad Suffolk accents.
I've got a load of pictures in front of me.
Yeah.
And the idea is that I ask you what you would call them.
Yep. Okay. Yep.
So this one here.
I would call that a hedgehog.
Right. And this?
It's a daddy long legs earwig. I never know what you call this. It's a I can't remember calling it anything. I know we used to, it's like a sticky foliage stuff, but we used to throw it at each other.
Yeah.
So that caught on your clothes, but I can't remember.
I would call it cleaver.
Cleaver. So now I've never heard.
Sticky bud.
Like, yeah, right. I was going to say, would we call it sticky bud or something like, or sticky beak or something like that? I can just remember us pulling up and frowning at each other.
I think it's something that used to get pulled out with the wild oats, isn't it?
Yeah, I used to go oat pulling.
Yeah, this.
So is that like a dewdrop? Or, I mean, if us dew in the mornings, we'd call it a dag. If us the dew that you get on the grass early in the mornings, we'd call it a dag.
Yeah.
I think, if I remember right.
Call it that as well.
Well, I would call those sweets, but my granddad would call them suckers.
Right.
I didn't ever call them suckers.
Ah. And this one?
Is that bread?
It was a type of
bread. That's a type of bread.
So,
like a bun, like a roll, bread roll or something. Yeah, I can't remember calling anything other than a roll or bread. That's a scone.
Yeah.
But also, how many are there?
Oh,
was that three?
Yeah. Yes, it's about pronouncing three.
Oh, so right. Three.
Nice.
Oh, spring onions. I think they're spring onions.
Yeah. And what are these two up to?
I don't know. What are they up to?
It's cut off a bit of their legs, but it's turned.
Oh, is he on a piggyback? Give her a piggyback. Yeah.
And what would you call
that? Oh, seesaw.
Right.
Yep.
Very good. Excellent. So now moving on to words that you would use in a sentence.
Yep.
And how you'd say them.
Okay.
So if you saw that, the food was...
Let's have a look.
Which one of those would you pick?
Oh, I think, I don't know. I think I'd just say it's very tasty.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he asked me to fix it and...
I went, no way, do it yourself.
Right.
I went.
Okay. Good. And... Okay. So, in terms of a room in a house that you'd use for storing food...
Well, as a child, we'd had a pantry.
Yeah.
But not in latter years. That was very early on, had a pantry.
And if you haven't had any food for a long time, you're bound to feel...
famished.
Right. And what words would you use for something to eat?
Because this is sort of, they're trying to get to a small thing, not like a meal, take it with you somewhere.
Well, we used to have Levinces, which was a snack mid-morning.
Yeah.
That's
lunchtime, you just had a pack up, but
yeah,
that's all I think.
Yeah, no, that's fine. And what would you call a coffee that you get from a cafe with lots of milk in it?
I don't know, because I drink mine black most of the time, but I do have a cappuccino sometimes. If I've got a lot of milk, latte.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, very good. And the dairy product that you spread on toast.
Butter.
Sandwiches.
Butter.
Yeah. Very good. And if you fall over in the playground, your knee might be...
You'd have a rove on it.
Interesting.
A rove. Which is like a scab or a, you know, when a, yeah, we always called that a rove.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
And what word or phrase would you use to indicate a temporary break in a game when points can't be scored? You know, so...
So if you're playing tag or something,
yeah.
or you're
yeah, I don't
messing
know.
About your brother. Or
yeah,
or,
I don't know.
And you want to sort of stop.
Just a break, I suppose.
I can't
remember.
See, I would have said packs. If my brother and I.
Oh, yeah. Oh, what did we used to say when we used to cross the things and say X's? X's, I think.
Yes.
Mm.
That's
that meant you were, you know, you weren't part of it. They couldn't actually tag
Definitely
you or
anymore.
X's. You'd cross your fingers and say X's. I'm not, you know, I'm X's. These are things that are coming back to me. I've forgotten all this stuff.
And if you got covered in dirt at the playground, when you got home, you might need to get in the...
In the bath.
Yeah. And when children are very excited, you might say they're full of...
I don't know. Can't think.
They've got a lot of energy.
They're
too excited. They're full of...
No, I can't think other than energy. I can't think of anything.
You would have said full of beans.
Full of beans, yeah. I can't remember really using that.
No.
Yeah, it's too long ago, I think, to think back.
And at the end of a long and tiring day, you'd say you were absolutely...
knackered.
Yeah. And which word would you use to mean not attending school?
Scoven.
Right. And sometimes when children are being very naughty, their parents tell them that someone will come and take them away. What do you call this mysterious person?
Oh, let me think. I think when we was little, I was told I'd get tucked away by the police. My mum used to say, if you don't behave, she said, I'm going to run away. But then when I went and got a coat for her, she stopped doing it, I think. So that was either her or one of my kids did that. So that weren't ideal.
You grow crops and raise animals on a...
farm.
Yep. And when you walk in the countryside, after heavy rain, your shoes will get covered in...
I don't know, sludge,
mm-hmm.
water, mud.
Yeah. When driving in icy or wet weather, you must take care because the roads are...
slippery.
And which word do you use as a term of endearment, even with strangers?
I don't know. Sweetie, sweetie possibly.
Yeah.
Lovely, something like that.
Yeah. And which word would you use to refer to someone as very attractive?
I haven't seen anybody like that lately, so I don't know.
Present company excluded.
Present company excluded, yeah. I suppose when you've got kids around you pick up words that they say probably fit.
Yeah.
Which was probably not something I'd have used as a child.
No.
Or, but perhaps I hear more of her, you know, more from having younger kids who are now grown up as well, but probably fit, something like that.
Yeah. And what is your word for spreading rumours?
Oh, I don't know.
So chit-chatting with your friends.
Yeah, I can't think of anything I'd particularly use. No, I'll have to think on that one.
Gossip or something.
Yeah, it could be gossip or, gossip. I can't think that I'd use.
And a picture that's not hanging straight is hanging on
the hearth.
Yeah. And what do you call a very small piece of wood that has been got into your finger?
A sliver.
What do you call a person who mends shoes and boots?
Cobbler.
Yeah. And what do you have other words you'd like to tell us about?
I can't think. I did make a list of all these once upon a time when I filled a form in with Laura a long while ago. Like I said, we said about Frauna code. My granddad would have said different words to me, I think. And so we called the deer a dag. He used to always, I don't use it, but he always used to say yinna at the end, which would say such and such and you know.
Yeah.
He'd say yinna. But I don't know, I can't think. I could have come prepared with the list. There's a lot of things I do use that I probably use without thinking about, really. Use without thinking about. He'll have to say he always called me Mortha, as well as Toby, but generally he called me Mortha. Probably when he weren't particularly pleased with me for any reason, he called me Mortha, which I think is a fairly local word.
Yeah, I haven't heard of
that. Does that mean sort of bothering?
I think that's a word for a woman. He called me Mortha, but that was more sort of if he was not very happy, I think. But Toby was the general word. But yeah, I don't know where he got that from. I hated it as a child, but. But there's a lot of words. I think I'd have to think. And I think I do actually use that quite a lot.